ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's time to talk politics now with David Spears, the host of Insiders, and Samantha Maiden, the national political editor for news.com.au. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, PK.
This week, we've seen the legal feud between Elon Musk, owner of X, and the eSafety Commissioner intensify. And now the opposition leader, Peter Dutton, has sided sort of with Elon Musk, saying Australia can't be the internet police of the world. Samantha Maiden, that's a bit of a different line, isn't it, to Susan Lee, his deputy, who kind of backed in the eSafety Commissioner?
It's a really interesting question because I think it is one of those things where you have to make a or put a line in the sand between the rhetoric and the reality, right? Because on some level, look, it's all very well and good to talk tough about all this stuff. But I'm not saying there aren't things that can be done or things that can be looked at. But there is also an element of this that involves posturing. And you know, we've kind of seen that in the past with Scott Morrison, you know, like he was going to take on the giants and the, you know, Facebook. And then we had that delightful tableau, I don't know if you saw it, of Paul Karp from The Guardian getting up, which I quite enjoyed that. I don't know if you liked that, David.
It was good.
Where he basically got up and said, you know, you haven't been using these laws that you've got, right? And there followed Commissioner Kershaw saying there was going to be a 100% increase and Mr. Karp deploying some very interesting Year 10 maths. I think that politically there is an issue for Peter Dutton because people on the far and the sort of, I wouldn't say conservative necessarily, but libertarian strain of the Liberal Party, you know, have a problem with basically censorship and cracking down on this. And so, yeah, I just kind of have a bit of a note of caution, like before we all rush out to sort of condemn Peter Dutton. I know it's compelling, I know, but I think that some of what he's saying probably has a degree of common sense.
And look, just on Susan Lee, you mentioned, PK, she has on Sunrise this morning backed in the position of Peter Dutton, that we can't be the global police.
Do-si-do, swing your partner.
When it comes to this.
She's going somewhere else.
She supports efforts to take down this material, but doesn't think we should pretend that we can be the global internet police. Ooh. And look, I think even within the government, yes.
Bit of column A, bit of column B.
Within the government, they're backing what the eSafety Commission is trying to do. Obviously, that's the public position, but privately, some will acknowledge this is going to be a difficult one to win, that you know, Australia can tell Twitter or anyone else what to take down globally. And look, the point Peter Dutton and others make, you know, does that mean China, Russia, or others can dictate what gets shown globally? But look, we'll see that play out in the courts. That will be decided there. I think what it emphasises, though, whether it's extremist content, whether it's the concerns the ASIO and federal police chiefs were making this week about end-to-end encryption, whether it's misinformation and disinformation, we are limited in what we can do as one country when it comes to these behemoths. They're bigger than some nation states. And I think the only, look, we're not alone with these concerns. The UK, Canada, many countries are having similar debates. And maybe if we act together, more pressure could be applied. Although the big one, of course, is the United States, and they have First Amendment protections when it comes to free speech.
And also, I'm not suggesting the market is the answer here, but like in terms of the market and Twitter, now, like, since Elon Musk turned up, you know, Twitter kind of sucks. No one wants to be there anymore.
Well, this
it's
is another
horrible.
Interesting point.
And so nobody is there.
Well,
nobody
why are the politicians there? I mean, Jackie Lambie took a stand this week and said, I'm out. But you ask all these other politicians, oh, no, well, look, you know, sure, it might be, you know, spreading extremist content and disobeying Australian law.
Spreading my content.
But those likes and retweets are so good, aren't they? So, look, seriously, their argument has been, well, it's going to be a better place if I'm still there. I mean, really? It's a strange old argument.
Well, okay, yeah, it is, but the whole kind of boycott argument is, you know, has its limitations too, doesn't it, Sam, ultimately?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I kind of, TikTok's where it's at now, isn't it? I mean, if you want to get into
a totally different thing to do, though, or share.
I just think if you're arguing that Twitter, right, just to stick with that, is all sorts of evil for the reasons we've heard politicians lay out this week.
And mainly just because I'm there. No, it's okay.
Why are they still there? And look, I get it. It's difficult. There are many benefits of social media that democratise debate, that bring people into the conversation, all of that. But if your concerns are those being expressed by these political leaders about where it's gone under Elon Musk, Then is it really saving the world them being there still? I don't know.
Okay. So
you just want everyone to get out of Twitter.
Well, yeah, David's like, I did. You should too.
Exactly.
In his,
he's an evangelist.
His National Press Club address, ASIO boss Mike Burgess has urged social media companies must do more to stamp out extremism, but not calling, as you mentioned, for law reform yet. What was this about? I'm still confused about this. You do a big speech and then what, the social media companies go, oh, yeah, I've seen that speech. I'd like to get a bit more socially responsible.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Look, I don't think Elon Musk is suddenly going to cooperate.
He was live streaming the National Press Club.
According to Commissioner Kershaw, his door is open. Yeah. He's going to come and knock on his door.
But it's not just Twitter we're talking about here. When they talk about end-to-end encryption, they make a pretty good point. There are all sorts of, I mean, Meta has quite a few of them, obviously, as well. Their point is terrorists, pedophiles, spies, neo-Nazis, you name it, they're all using this end-to-end encryption. Their job as security agencies is now very, very hard in trying to keep us safe when they can't, tap into, can't see what's being communicated in a lot of these messaging platforms. Now, at the moment they're just saying, please help to the social media companies, but I think they're also making this very public, because it's very rare to see these guys on stage at the press club. They're making the public well aware that this is a problem. Now, technically they're not calling for additional laws at the moment, but I think registering this on the public record is not a bad thing. And as I say, it comes back to countries working collectively to do more about this.
But it's really interesting because, I mean, to some extent, for me, this plugs into the domestic violence discussion, which I think we're going to have in a minute, is that on the one level, and I'm not saying that you can't walk and chew gum at the same time, but, you know, we have all this focus on, you know, arresting 5-16-year-olds downloading jihadist material, and then you have got this other problem with domestic violence in Australia that's much more widespread, that kills more people, basically, right? And when you get to encryption and Snapchat and all the rest of it, personally, I actually think the real problem with social media in Australia right now is that there is no prohibition on 10, 11, 12-year-olds getting into it, but getting hooked into it, and there's very little barriers for them joining it. And then when they do, there's a lot of using Snapchat to sell vapes, drugs, all sorts of criminal activity. It's just interesting to me because, like, that to me is the real problem.
Yeah, you mentioned family violence, and that's really emerged as, I think, a beyond crisis in our country. Peter Dutton has been asked about it this morning and says there is bipartisan support to do, and I quote, whatever we humanly can to address violence against women. So we're hearing all the right language. There's bipartisan support. There's a lot of seriousness about it. The media is behaving much differently than it used to. I think everyone sees that. So, Sam, the Prime Minister's obviously been on the Kokoda track, so out of this conversation. Is the federal government going to have more to say when it comes to this crisis? Obviously, it's a state-federal governments in terms of bail laws and other things, but there has to be some sort of coordination, isn't there?
They'll no doubt have things to say. It's a question of whether they'll have things to do that will actually make any difference. You know, I mean, I think that it is wonderful that we are talking about it and important, but I also really think that, you know, violence against women and family violence is so embedded in the Australian culture. It is very difficult to erase, and basically, and that also goes for violence. I mean, you know, you look at the statistics for young men, the people that are most likely to experience violence at a certain point of their life is young men. I don't think we should pretend that women are the only people experiencing violence, but certainly within the family context, that is the case, that it is more women than men who are the subject of violence, not saying exclusively, but in terms of their total numbers. And, you know, like, I just think that the story of this, it does become very difficult to handle because it's so endemic.
Yeah.
There are warning signs, obviously, but there are signs where the number of times women are coming in asking for help.
That's right.
And they just can't get it.
All right. David, who's your guest quickly?
Di Lee, the independent member for Fowler.
Oh, really interesting. Okay, thanks to both of you, David Spears and Samantha Maiden.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.